Morning, everybody.
Morning.
We're having a service where we take communion, remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the sacrifice God made for us by allowing him to die for our sins. I want to start by asking to think about the following question. What are some of the titles that God has? Alpha and Omega. Ancient of Days. Potter and Wheel of Clay.
Was
the Father and His children. What is the bridegroom?
What
is the great I am? Amen.
The great I am. What
salvation forces?
God is the author of
life. I'd like to confer a few more teenagers here at Harvard School for you to stand up as well. Just before I started, I just wanted to take the opportunity just to build up these young people in our church. You know, they are the future leaders. And I honestly just have so much respect for the way they're striving to live lives with Jesus and learn more about him, especially given the peer pressure that they face on a daily basis to make stands for Jesus is really amazing. I have a lot of respect, and I'm sure we all do. So let's just show our appreciation. John chapter 1. God is the author of life. The author of life. I don't know if you like reading or writing. You know, what I appreciate about a great writer is the ability with which they use words to create an image in my mind and tell a story. You know, the God that we worship, our God, is an author. He also loves words. In fact, in John chapter 1, we learn that God himself is the Word. In John chapter 1, starting verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light that shines in darkness, and the darkness is not overcome." Verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. God entered his own story. You know, when I was young, my favourite books that I used to like reading were these kind of fantasy adventure books where you were actually sort of the main character in the story. And, you know, you could open it and you could have these choices that you make. And usually they were set in some fantasy world, you know, and you confront the ogres, and if you want to fight the ogres, turn to page 42. If you want to talk to the ogres, turn to page 34. And there'd be different choices that you'd make in the story. I used to love that. Didn't have Xbox when I was a kid. But thinking about, on a more serious note, how God was the author of life, yet he entered his own story with devastating consequences. If you just turn over to Acts chapter 3. You know, Peter, speaking to the crowd, he says, "You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Now, the reality is our sin killed the author of life. You know, when I was 15, I was given a poem by one of my aunties, actually. And this poem has become one of my favourite poems. I just wanted to read it to you this morning before we take communion, because it really emphasises what God went through and how painful it must have been for him to write this story and then be part of it. It's entitled The Author of Life. Seated at the great desk, the author opens a large book. It has no words. It has no words because no words exist. No words exist because no words are needed. There are no ears to hear them. The author is alone. And so he takes out the great pen and begins to write. Like an artist gathers his colours and a woodcarver his tools, the author assembles his words. There are three single words. Out of these three will pour a million thoughts. But on these three words, the story will suspend. He takes the quill and spells the first. T-I-M-E. Time. Time did not exist before he wrote it. He himself is timeless. But his story would be encased in time. The story would have a first rising of the sun, a first shifting of the sand, a beginning and an end. A final chapter. He knows it before he writes it. Time, a foot span on eternity's trail. Slowly, tenderly, the author writes a second word, a name, Adam. As he writes, he sees him, the first Adam. Then he sees all the others. In a thousand eras, in a thousand lands, the author sees all of them. Each Adam, each child, instantly loved, permanently loved. To each he assigns a time. To each he appoints a place. No accidents, no coincidences, just design. The author makes a promise to these unborn. In my image, I will make you. You will be like me. You will laugh. You will create. You will never die. And you will write. They must, for each life is a book, not to be read, but rather a story to be written. The author starts each life story, but each life will write his or her own ending. What a dangerous liberty. How much safer it would have been just to finish the story for each Adam, to script every option. It would have been simpler, it would have been safer, but it would not have been love. Love is only love if chosen. So the author decides to give each child a pen. Write carefully, he whispers. Lovingly, deliberately, he writes the third word, already feeling the pain. Emmanuel. The greatest mind in the universe imagined time. The truest judge granted Adam a choice, but it was love that gave Emmanuel, God with us. The author would enter his own story. The word would become flesh. He too would be born. He too would be human. He too would have feet and hands. He too would have a choice. Emmanuel would stand at the crossroads of life and death and make a choice. The author knows well the weight of that decision. He pauses as he writes the pages of his own pain. He could stop. Even the author has a choice. But how can a creator not create? How can a writer not write? How can love not love? So he chooses life, though it means death, with the hope that his children will do the same. And so the author of life completes the story. He drives the spike in the flesh, rolls a stone over the grave, knowing the choice he will make, knowing the choice all Adams will make, he pens the end. Then closes a book and proclaims the beginning. Let there be light. You know, what amazes me is the fact that God wrote the story knowing the pain it would cause him, right from the beginning of time. You know, the question I have today for all of us is how is our story going so far? You know, what are we writing? It's an incredible privilege to be able to have the freedom to write our own lives, to make our own choices, because that's the God that we love. I know for me, my story goes something like this. As a 29-year-old, possibly I'm a third of the way through my life, if I'm lucky. You know, a third of my story has been written already. You know, to start off with, I think it was some very, very encouraging chapters in my story. But I think, if I'm honest now, is it starting to not be so encouraging? You know, am I completing my journey the way that I started? You know, I was talking to a few brothers the other day about how I think in my life, as a young sort of teenager, I was very, very willing to sort of want to give up everything and do anything for God. But yet, you know, you get a bit older, maybe you make a little bit of money, you acquire some more possessions, and all of a sudden, am I prepared to give it up now? You know? I don't know, for the teenagers among us, you know, you guys are at the beginning of your story. There's lots of blank pages. You've the potential to write an all-time bestseller. You know, how have your first few chapters gone? You know, the beginning of a book often reflects the rest of the story, and decisions that we're making as teenagers now are going to have consequences in later chapters. What about those of us who are blessed to be unmarried? We're at a stage of our life where we're not married. You know, how are we writing? You know, is it an exciting story of us exploring our passions and excelling in our careers, working as if working for the Lord, making the most of the freedom that we have to serve God wholeheartedly, to live life to the full? Maybe some of us slightly older, you know, married and have families. Maybe there's a few more chapters in our story. You know, maybe we had some mountaintop experiences earlier on. How are things going now? How are we writing? Sure, we've got some great chapters, maybe entitled, you know, Overcoming Adversity, or Falling in Love, or Victories for God, or Raising Children. Maybe there's some difficult ones in there as well. Chapters like Financial Challenge, or Discouragement with Sin, or Self-Esteem Challenges, or Sexual Unfulfillment. You know, the encouragement is not to be content with our past glories, but to live and write, knowing that God has made this incredible sacrifice for us, and He's given us the freedom to write. Maybe the more mature among us, who have really lived life and towards the end of our story, our book's probably full with action, rich experience. But as a church, we really need those people to share their experiences with us and encourage us with the wisdom that they've acquired through writing their story. You know, before we take the bread and the wine, I just want us to just consider this. How great is our God that He actually gives us the freedom to write for ourselves? It would have been so much easier for Him just to finish the story for us and spare Himself the pain. You know, but that isn't our God. Our God is a God of love that gives us choice and free will. Let's think about that as we take the communion. Let's pray. Father in heaven, truly You are the author of life, and we're so privileged, God, to be Your children. Lord, we thank You that You've started writing our stories. And God, even though, like in the poem, it says it causes You so much pain, Father, to write the way that You wrote, Lord, entering Your own story and becoming a man, Father, even though you're perfect. God, being humiliated, Father, being spat on, being nailed to a cross for us. God, we can't thank You enough for that. And Lord, as we take the bread that symbolizes Jesus' body and the wine that symbolizes His blood, Lord, please just help us to consider this and think about the lives that we're living, Father. Are we writing exciting stories, Lord, that that really are a testament to you and the sacrifices that you've made for us? We love you with all our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.